Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Joe McGranahan is across me. Rob Center is the champion. He made two Super Bowl predictions, both of which were the closest, believe it or don't. Now, neither was anywhere remotely close to what happened.
I predicted 13-3.
Oh, you did not.
Yes, I did. I wrote it down on a piece of paper and left it on your desk on Friday.
Oh,
you don't recall?
That's funny.
Yes, that is. No, I'm surprised how low of scoring game was. Actually, it was quite a boring game, I thought.
I literally fell asleep at the end.
Yeah, I mean, they had their chances to, the Rams had their chances to win. But, I mean, let's face it. Let's be honest about it. New England shouldn't have even been in the game. They should have been disqualified after that bad hit that wasn't called in the game against Orleans Saints.
Well, you only get penalized. You don't get disqualified.
Well, that game was not that was the Rams shouldn't have been in.
That's right, the Rams.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's been a long night.
Besides, you don't get disqualified for a bad penalty. You just get penalized.
Well, they shouldn't have been there anyway.
Well, the goal at the game, though,
despite it should have been the Steelers in there.
Steelers and Eagles.
Yeah, yes. There we go.
The Steagles.
The Turnpike Super Bowl, right? Is that what we call it?
That's right.
Okay. All right. Well, in any event, okay, so we could talk a little bit about that today, the outcome of the game. I did literally fall asleep at the end. My lovely bride came in and said, "Is it over yet?" I'm like, I don't know. What's happening?
It was over before it started.
Well, yeah, there you go. But Rob came the closest. Everybody else had predictions for the Patriots to win, but with a lot more points total. And Rob's sort of flip remark was that he hoped it would be 0-50 with the Rams winning.
Yeah.
So he didn't predict the outcome. But believe it or not, 50 points is the lowest total of any of the predictions. And then the second is your other prediction, the 27-24 outcome with the Patriots winning that you thought was sort of more realistically what might happen. So all the rest were much, much higher because everybody else had the Patriots and the Rams, like, scoring once in a while. I don't know. Bizarre activity, which didn't
It was
happen.
A bizarre game, really.
Did you have a favorite TV commercial last night?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
I love the one. I believe I'm sure it was Jason Bateman was in it. It was for a car company,
Hyundai.
Hyundai. Yes,
that was great.
Yeah. We're allowed to say that word on the air.
Well, since they're a sponsor, why not?
Okay. Yeah, I love that commercial. First floor going down, root canals, jury duty.
And you're going, you're going down.
And then I like the Bud Light commercial where they were looking for the dragging a giant keg of corn syrup around, trying to find what beer was using it.
What beer fiefdom it belonged to.
Right.
Right. Okay, well, that was fun. I like the Bud Light one that turned into Game of Thrones. Now, I don't like Game of Thrones, but I certainly appreciate
it. You don't like Game of Thrones? I knew you were something. So there was something wrong with you.
I just don't have time for fantasy TV, you know? I like all my TV real.
What do you watch? Reality shows? Is that all you watch?
60 minutes all the way.
All right. Well, that's your loss, my friend.
All right. All right. So that's the Super Bowl wrap-up. Anything else to say about that?
No, except that I see that, went to Florida already, to Disney World, Tom Brady.
Whatever.
Maybe we'll get lucky and he won't come back.
Julian Edelman should have gone with him. He was the MVP.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He should have been the only one making the trip. He did deserve a lot of credit for that game last night.
Oh, well, yeah. 140 yards receiving, something like that?
Yeah, what it was. Yeah. Wow.
He came through when they needed him.
And your favorite TV ad, Rob?
The NFL 100th anniversary commercial.
I agree. That was.
Yeah.
I sort of didn't put it on the list because it wasn't for a commercial product that you know.
I'm going to count that.
Right.
Yeah, and I've already seen it 3 or 4 times trying to identify everyone in the commercial.
Okay.
Still don't know who the girl is at the end, though.
She is familiar,
yeah,
but I don't know
why. Yeah, who she takes the ball and says,
I think she's a gymnast or something.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure that out.
So, yeah. But yeah, the ad for the 100th where it turns into a free for all at a, it looks like a wedding or something.
I must have missed that commercial. I must have been in the restroom.
It was right at the end of the first half, before it went into the halftime.
Well, now that's a whole other problem. The halftime show, that was a disaster.
Yeah. We watched about 30 seconds of it, said, let's watch a rerun of The Big Bang Theory.
What didn't you like about it?
Well, they were awful. Yeah. Someone, I think the New York Times or one of them said, Super Bowl halftime show ruined by working sound system.
I thought it was all right. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Maroon 5, but I recognized all the songs they
all
were singing.
All this stuff is so terribly overproduced. You know, you can't just bring a star out and let them perform. You have to have people dancing.
Well, that's what they did with Maroon 5 yesterday. They brought a star out and he performed.
Well, yeah, but they had all the other bells and whistles. And they're not really a big star. I mean, it's not on the same level as, let's say, a Elton John or, Sir Paul McCartney or somebody like that.
Or Prince, who I think did the best ever halftime show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The late Prince.
The late Prince. Late lamented Prince.
Okay.
But, right.
I liked it okay, but I don't really like pop music, and I recognized all the songs. That's my only criteria to
enjoy. Highlight of the show for somebody like me was Gladys Knight singing the Star Spangled Banner.
Mm, oh, okay. That was outstanding.
One of those sisters.
Brought chills to me.
When the sisters did a fabulous job.
On America the Beautiful.
Yes, right. they did. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and,
yeah, I honestly said, I don't know who they are, but they're really good.
Well, a lot of women were responding on Facebook to the physique of Adam Levine, the singer from Maroon 5.
Just because he took his shirt off and had all those tattoos. I didn't need to see that.
Well, he's pumped up, buddy.
In what way are you referring to his pumped up?
Well, he's got big pecs, flat abs.
He's ripped.
There you go. Thank you. That's the word.
Oh, okay. Well, he's also lacking in a fair amount of talent.
Oh, my.
Not that I could do any better, mind you.
How do you even respond to that?
Well, he could have had some really great entertainers on there.
Oh, brother. Okay. He lacks no talent. Let's just leave it at that. You may not like him, but...
Well, I'm not a big fan of Maroon 5. I'd be the first to admit it.
You know, I don't even know their songs.
Bring Bruno Mars back. Let Bruno Mars do it. He was good.
Okay. There you go. Thank you. Well, he doesn't have any talent either.
No, he has a lot of talent.
Oh,
yeah,
does
Bruno,
he?
Bruno is very talented.
He is very talented.
I know. I'm just harassing you. All right. On the Mark, sponsor for the Sunbury Motor Company. Check him out at sunburymotors.com.
Are we done with the frivolity now?
Not necessarily. We can do more. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us now with your Super Bowl, I was going to say prediction. That would be silly. Yeah, call us with your prediction.
13-3 in New England.
All right. Call it 1-800-795-9565. What do you think about America's obsession with the commercials and the Super Bowl itself? Probably about a third of the country was doing the same thing yesterday, watching the game. The toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. Throughout our show, you are welcome to do as EB has done, and that's email us at onthemark@wdkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message. If you're not yet a Text Connect member, join the growing number of individuals who have signed up at wdkok.com. All it requires is that you supply to us the number you want us to text, and we would reply to you that we got that message. And then when there's breaking news, national or local, dead celebrities, closed roads, tornadic weather on the way, important breaking news information, we send you a text. Now, we don't sell the phone number. We don't use it for any other purpose. You never get anything except an important Text Connect message. And it's a simple one, too, just a few words and a link. If you want to follow the link to find out more, go ahead. If it doesn't have too much impact on you, then you can just hit the delete button. But it's an opportunity for us to stay in touch with you, and we hope you'll take advantage of it. It increases our outreach, and so we appreciate us being able to get in contact with you. Text Connect us at 70236. You can sign up at WDKOK.com. Talked about Super Bowl commercials. Some people like the Verizon ads that call attention to first responders, used it to compile a football team from individuals who've been helped by first responders along the way.
But the big story over the weekend has been Governor Northam in Virginia.
All right. So,
and our friend EB, who is, well, let's say, nipping the Kool-Aid again this morning.
Oh, okay. Well, and you, let's start out. He has, in his medical school yearbook, there's a picture of a man in blackface and a man in a KKK robe. Now, you can't see who you are. Now, initially, Governor Northam said that he was one of those individuals, but then later he said, nope, he re-remembered and that he was not part of it. Joe is among the very few people who feel as though he should not resign.
No, I'm not saying that.
I and the rest of the country feel he should resign.
There was an excellent, I sent you a story this morning written by John Blake, who is a man of color. He works for CNN. And he makes some, it's one of the best pieces I've read about the current state of race relations as it relates to something like Governor Northam. But let's get to EB's note first. He says, I believe Governor Ralph Northam should, for that racist yearbook photo, resign. I also believe Mitch McConnell should resign for that photo of him posing in front of a massive Confederate flag that's currently making the rounds online. I believe Ron DeSantis should resign for his controversial monkey this up comment and refusing to return the campaign contribution of a donor who called President Obama the N-word. I believe Steve King should resign for tweeting support of a neo-Nazi on Twitter, openly stating that people of different races reproducing will not lead to a higher quality of life, but a lower one, and asking when white nationalism became a bad word. I believe the entire Republican Party of Williamson County in Tennessee should be replaced for sending out a racist tweet about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And of course, I believe President Donald Trump should resign for calling Mexican rapists and saying white supremacists are very fine people. Will conservatives call for these resignations too? No, of course not. They will only call for Northam's. That's because racism is perfectly okay when it comes from a Republican. It's only a problem when the Democrat does it. Now, here's where I believe EB is nipping the Kool-Aid. The majority of people calling for Northam's resignation are Democrats, not Republicans.
Well, I think it's people on both sides, but I think the Democrats are making the headlines because often you see people in the same political party are a little bit slower to call for a resignation of somebody within their party. But in this case, everybody's saying, oh my gosh, you know. So the Democrats are making the headlines, but the Republicans are there too.
Well, here's what John Blake wrote.
But isn't this just political? You always say political correctness is run amok, and so you think he should stay in office?
Well, no, I don't know about that. I mean, if this were today, if he did this last week, I would agree he should be thrown out of office. But this is 30 years ago, and my question is, how did he behave during the intervening 30-some years? He was a pediatrician. Did he not treat black children? Did he refuse to treat them? Did he treat them with less care and concern than he did white children? Has he a history of racism over the past 30 years that should be easily able to find and identifiable? Mm-hmm. You know, what kind of a person has he been? He says that he, you know, admittedly his denial and first acceptance and then denial are problematic because you don't know what
was his significant knowledge of how shoe polish is.
How hard it is to get off. Yeah,
right,
that's a little concerning.
Repeatedly.
You know, I think that was probably,
and
he probably did that.
A Michael Jackson skit.
Well, he probably did that because he might be afraid that another photo would emerge. And if he said, I never did it, you know, I think he probably just put it out there in abundance of caution. But, you know, there was a time and place where that would have been not totally ostracized, let's face it. But I'm concerned about what he did in the last 30 years, how he behaved. And John Blake wrote just a tremendous piece this morning. It was posted on CNN's website, and I think it's titled "What."
How did you find it?
Huh? Because I read. You accuse me of not reading anything other than Fox, but I read quite a few things. He says there's an uncomfortable truth that the photo won't reveal, that some of the biggest champions for black people in America's past have been white politicians who were racists. A pop history quiz. Who was the white Southerner who used the N-word almost like a connoisseur and routinely called a landmark civil rights bill the N-bill? That was President Lyndon Baines Johnson, the greatest civil rights champion of any modern-day president. Who was the white judge who joined the KKK, marched in their parades, and spoke at nearly 150 Klan meetings in his white hooded uniform? That was Supreme Court Justice Hugo Black, who incurred the wrath of his fellow Southerners when he voted to abolish Jim Crow segregation in the court's landmark Brown versus Board of Education decision. And who was the white politician who also used the N-word freely, told racist jokes, and said Americans were biologically inferior to whites? That was Abraham Lincoln, the great emancipator, who said that. You know, and what he points out here, The point of these examples is not to offer a an historical loophole for any leader caught being blatantly racist. What happens to Northam is ultimately up to the people he serves and to his conscience. But what I'm saying is that what matters to some black people, not all, maybe not even most, is not what a white politician did 30 years ago. It's what he's doing today. Now, what do you think of that? And he also makes another point that is well worth hearing, if I can find it here. It's a lengthy article. But could Johnson survive as a leader today, Lyndon Johnson? In the church of modern-day media, there is no room for redemption. We have a zero-tolerance policy against anyone caught being a racist. They can apologize profusely without any denials or rationalizations, but they will most likely be banished from public life. No doubt this policy is good. We can't return to the old days when politicians freely used the N-words in public, but I think we lose something when we don't allow any politician to grow past his mistakes.
Well, and I appreciate what you're saying, or what he's saying and what you're saying, and that's fine, and you're always the one advocating saying political correctness has gone too far. But I think this is the same thing as when TV anchor woman couldn't remember the name of, or thought blackface was okay in a costume or in a costume setting.
Now that was the girl from Fox News who went to CBS, wasn't it?
She's a woman now, anyway. But anyway, okay, so
that's demeaning, calling her a girl.
Right, I'm aware. Thank you. That's why you...
Is that racist,
I corrected
too?
You. Not that I'm aware of, but probably. But anyway, so the fact is, he just doesn't get it. I guess that's the dilemma. He just doesn't understand the gravity of doing that. And what that means is that, yes, he wouldn't, he may not have any prejudice in his heart, you know, like the president says he doesn't, but his actions of wearing blackface show that not only...
30 years ago.
So, well, no, whenever the Michael Jackson was, so that would be more recent.
That was more recent than that, yes, I would think
so. He doesn't understand the implication and the racial weight that carries. And to be in public office and as a governor and to not appreciate what the symbolism is, it would be like wearing a swastika around your neck saying, well, you know, I've really changed a lot since I really put this on in high school. You know, no, the symbolism is still there. It's very weighty. It's dead serious.
But it doesn't matter what he did in the intervening years.
Well, I guess
he maybe had no racist history at all.
I think for that reason, he may have a public office in his future and should be part of a
President
broad...
Obama
he should be part
him.
Of a broad discussion because of what you're saying and the totality of his experience and background. But to have such a glaring omission on your resume that you don't appreciate or understand the gravity of what blackface
meant. But he says he did understand it. He apologized for it. You know, he says that he never even bought a copy of that yearbook. Now, I don't know whether he's telling the truth or not.
We have to go in his attic.
But he was apparently out of the school and didn't buy a copy of it, didn't even know that they had put those pictures in there. You know, obviously, the guy has run for office since 2007. Nobody caught it. Nobody went back. As President Trump points out, he should fire the guys who were doing the Oppo research for his opponent, the Republican candidate down there,
because they missed it back then.
You know, so certainly it could have been used to great effect, and I think it would have probably cost him the election. But, I mean, aren't we more concerned with what's in a person's heart than what's... You know, Martin Luther King, Dr. King said, the content of your character is more important. And I agree with that. If he has a history of bigotry and racism, fine. Then throw him out of office. But if he wasn't even aware of this, if he's telling the truth and no one can refute that he is, maybe somebody will come up with evidence that he is lying about one part of mm-hmm. this or another, then throw him out. But,
well,
you know.
I see what you're saying, and I'm not opposed to that, and I wouldn't mind having a broad discussion about, you know, what is the totality of his accomplishments on race. But the fact of the matter is, it means that during his past, 30 years ago, and since then, to not get what it means to wear blackface means that you have a big part of the broad character that you need for public office that he doesn't have. So therefore, he should step down, and for that reason, He should find out what the significant meaning is. You know, bone up on the topic, as we do in the interview world, before you're interviewing somebody about it, and then emerge back in public life to be part of this discussion. All right, we have some emails related.
And we have a text.
These texts are on the same topic?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break.
All right.
And when we come back, we'll read the text. But we'll take callers. Should Governor Northam resign? And if so, why? And if he shouldn't resign, why should he stay? 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. 1-800-795-9565. News Radio 1070 WKOK, always glad to say thank you to the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. That is where they specialize in all types of service, not really a specialty. They do it all. They do state inspections. They'll pump you up with nitrogen, make sure your tires last longer and have less temperature change from summer to winter. The Quick Lane itself is open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can find them on the web at sunburymotors.com. Check out online specials. Build a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln to your precise specification, and check out the totality of everything they got to offer. And there's no omissions on the Sunbury Motor Company's lot, and you can find proof of that at sunburymotors.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, we have an answer to one of the most burning questions in the world. The woman in the NFL ad is a woman who played college football. Toni Harris is her name. And she played college football, I think, in California or
something. She looked familiar to you?
No, she shouldn't now that I know why she was in the ad.
But you thought she looked familiar.
Right.
Okay.
All right, 1-800-795-9565.
That's actually not the right answer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, Toni Harris was in a different commercial for Toyota.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And they did a whole ad around her. But in the NFL commercial, there's a girl wearing a red dress who takes that golden football and won't give it back.
Okay.
It says you have to come and get it. That's who we're trying to figure out who it is.
Gotcha. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm blending my text answers here. Well, thank you.
But yeah, they did a whole ad about Toni Harris, which was terrific.
All right, good. All right, thank you. 1-800-795-9565, Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. We're talking about the governor of Virginia. I almost said West Virginia again. Go ahead, Eric. You're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. First, comment about the Super Bowl. Whether you like the game or didn't like the game, it's still on free television, and that is the part that's still very important to me. That it's open. Anyone who can has an in. You don't need cable. You have an antenna now. You can bring in the game, and the fact that it remains a free event for everyone to watch has not gone pay per view as or only on one of these Google streaming thing. So thank goodness, hopefully it will always be open for everyone to watch.
Well, and Eric, not only is it free, but it's getting freer. CBS was touting last night that you could stream it live for free if you chose to, instead of watching it on a satellite or cable.
Of course, to stream it, you then have to have some sort of network connectivity, whether it be through phone company or internet or whatever.
Well, everybody has that.
Well, but it's not free.
Oh, well, that's true, yeah, unless you're at the library. You can watch it at the library.
It's free, it's open to all of us, and America, it should be. As to the governor of Virginia, everyone's opinion on it. I just say that we take this as, for our youth especially, as an object lesson. What you do now, what you post, what you say, we have to be very cautious because it can and will come back to bite you, whether it be now not going to become governor or president, but certainly these young folks will look for jobs, and, you know, and very competitive jobs, and this stuff can come back and bite you. The question I have is, where was the editorial control in this yearbook? It was put out as part of a medical school. And also, his VMI yearbook was also a racial epitaph. His
Coon reference.
Given by upperclassmen. Well, where's the editorial control? I mean, this was in the 80s, but still, obviously, showing a picture of a Klansman and someone in blackface, you know, even in the 80s was not acceptable. Where was the editorial control that even allowed this to be published?
That's a good point.
It makes you wonder
what that medical school was like, doesn't it?
Well, and a lot of times yearbooks
are
student operations, so maybe an advisor doesn't really look at everything.
Well, then that's on them.
But that, because obviously that medical school would have been on the cover of that, saying this is the yearbook of the class of that institution. They should have said, hey, this has no place in our medical school etiquette, you know, or tolerance or culture, to have this as something that's seen as even funny. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the 80s, when I was in college myself, but still, even back then, the Ku Klux Klan was not seen as acceptable, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're absolutely correct.
All right, thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
Appreciate that. The watchdog should have caught it, says Eric.
Yeah, we have a text and an email that we can get to after we come back.
All right. 1-800-795-9565 is the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. Use that. We'll have some brief news headlines when we return, and we'll continue talking about Governor Northam and other topics of import these days. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, Mark Lawrence here, Joe McGranahan, Rob Center, fabulous producer. Matt Cotrillo's doing something in the building, I'm sure about that.
I'm sure he's planking.
Yeah, no matter what. And it's not a computer game either, if that's what you're thinking.
No, I didn't think that at all.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. You can call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. Our On the Mark show is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Some brief news headlines. State House member Fred Keller made it official over the weekend he's running for U.S. Congress, hoping to replace former Congressman Tom Marino. Keller over the weekend said he's seeking the Republican nomination in the 12th District, formed a committee in hopes the GOP will select him as the nominee. He is going to be on WDKOK's On the Mark program this Friday. Ben Reichley will be co-hosting. Representative Keller will be here. He's a state representative at this time, hopes to be a U.S. congressional representative. He'll be here right after the Transportation Committee meeting of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. That Joe McGranahan chairs that committee. A former Connecticut U.S. Senator and vice presidential candidate is coming to Susquehanna University later this month. In a news release, SU says Joe Lieberman will deliver the annual Alice Pope Shade Lecture. It'll be held Monday, February 25th, 7:30 at the Degenstein Theater. Admission is free and open to the public. Throughout his more than 20 years in the Senate, SU says Lieberman has established himself as a national leader who works across party lines to find common ground. The pregnant Northumberland County teacher who alleges that she was fired from her Catholic school job because the diocese was upset that she wasn't married has filed a lawsuit contesting her termination. Nyad Reich filed the breach of contract suit Friday in Northumberland County Court against the Roman Catholic Diocese of Harrisburg. She's also seeking an injunction that would reinstate her as a teacher at Our Lady of Lourdes Regional School in Cole Township. Outside Shamokin, Reich, who isn't Catholic, said she was fired November 30th after notifying the diocese that she and her boyfriend were expecting a baby in June but had no immediate plans to marry. The diocese, which earlier said it doesn't comment on personnel matters, said officials hadn't seen the suit and couldn't comment before they won't comment on the lawsuit. And finally, Jussie Smollett, this is the person that was beat up in Boston with a noose around his neck, says friends and family urged him to cancel his concert in West Hollywood over the weekend, but he says he couldn't because his attackers might think they won. The Empire actor and singer performed at the Troubadour on Saturday night, 5 days after being beaten in Chicago. Oops, I said Boston, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Chicago by two masked...
Far be it for me to correct your mistakes.
Oh, you didn't catch it.
I did,
by
I let it
two
go.
Masked men who uttered racist and anti-gay comments, including one reference to the MAGA country that Smollett was visiting. Smollett, who's black and openly gay, told his audience the most important thing he could say was thank you so much and that he's okay. He says while he hasn't fully healed yet, he vows that he's going to be. Meantime, police continue their investigation into the beating. Chicago police say Smollett has cooperated with authorities, shooting down online chatter that he's been less than forthcoming. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
So
well, we have
those are the news headlines.
Several texts and one email.
We're talking about Governor Northam. Call us right now, 1-800-795-9565. Why shouldn't he resign? Would
or
be
why
one.
Should he? Take whichever side of the argument you want. But here's an interesting thing from one of our writers. He says, where was the anal exam for the Virginia governor before the election that the media always gives the Republican candidates? Maybe if the media and the Dem party itself had done its homework, this guy wouldn't have had a chance in the election. Somehow, the scrutiny of candidates by the media isn't applied equally. That all being said, his support for infanticide is enough to have him removed from office, in my opinion.
Yeah, we should get rid of him,
I'll
but
admit,
that's not
that's
why.
More troubling to me than the other thing.
Support for infanticide?
Yes, he was quoted on a TV show, which I kind of believe there's a quid pro quo here, that this picture came out. Somebody had it. It came out after what he said on a radio interview, that he said, you know, you have a baby and it's born and it's the mother might, you know, it might survive after the abortion procedure and that they would make it comfortable. And then the mother and the doctor would have a decision about what to do with this child that's out of the womb, right, laying there born, and they might decide whether to euthanize it.
Right, if it has significant impairments, correct?
I don't think that was part of the deal. No, I don't. I think if she opted for a late-term abortion...
So there's a baby born that looks normal, 6 pounds, 7 ounces?
Apparently, that's what I got out of it.
Come on.
That's what I got out of it.
All right.
Anyhow, you know, we talk about semantics, and one of our listeners points this out. When you say a person of color, what color are they? Orange, green, or red? And, you know, it's funny because we talk about semantics and political correctness. You can't say a colored person today, but you can say a person of color, yet they mean the same thing.
Who uses the phrase person of color?
I did.
Oh, okay.
When I said about the article by John Blake, I said he was a person of color. I didn't say he was a black man. I didn't say he was Hispanic. I just said he was a person of color.
It's just one of those little things in our language, our lingo, that doesn't seem to make sense. But individuals who are black say,
well, I think we're all concerned,
calling them a person of color is okay.
We're all concerned about...
We do know, it here.
Yes. Well,
when
we
have a guest who's black and it's part of the... It's part of the, you know, the reason that they're visiting us. Race is part of our conversation.
Right. So I don't, you know, but why can't you say a colored person? I mean, because years ago that was considered demeaning,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it is the
is.
Same. It is the same thing as saying a person of color, is it not? There is absolutely no semantic difference between the two, except one is politically correct and one isn't.
Okay.
Explain that to me. I mean, you're the liberal here.
Well, first of all, it relates to the fact that when you're describing somebody, you describe them as what's the most important, the most significant important thing about them first, and then second, what's a minor descriptor? So I might say, you know, Joe is a
bald white man.
Okay, that would be fine. So those are important. So, therefore, if you're saying that somebody is a colored person or a colored man, you are saying the most important thing about them is that they're colored, and secondly, they're a man.
Well,
but if you... Nope, hold on.
Okay.
If you want your answer, you got to listen.
Right,
you're
going
to learn something here.
I'm going to learn.
If you say that somebody is a person of color, the most important descriptor that you provide is that they are a person, And for some reason in your conversation, you wouldn't say this for any conversation, but if the conversation has to do with race or they wrote a book about race or whatever, you say they're a person of color, because what the most important thing is first. And you see this in the community when we're talking about individuals who have retardation. You know, you used to hear people say, well, this is a retarded person, because people felt that retardation was the most important thing. And then secondly, immaterially, yeah, just a little add-on, they're a person. No, now we say they are a person with some retardation, meaning most importantly, they are a person. And yes, they may have an intellectual disability.
I think that kind of falls apart, because I was referring to John Blake's article from CNN, and I said he was a person of color. The most important thing about
Blake,
him,
the author.
Yes, the most important thing about him isn't that he's a person. I doubt that an orangutan or an elephant or a bird could have written this article. So obviously, it's a person,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Would you agree? Yeah, I think you're on perfectly safe ground using that descriptor.
But I mean, the fact is, it's an article about race, and it's written by a man who is of
color.
Right,
and that's why it matters.
Right. That's nothing else. It's just, if I said the same article was written by a white man, you might have an entirely different view of it.
And you can say a person of color is used as a descriptive of somebody who's not white. Of any, you know, our person says, what are they, orange,
well,
green, or all red?
All persons of color, you know,
it's
you and
I. It's usually used to describe somebody who's black, but not always. It could be somebody who is Asian or, that's all I can think of.
Well, if a black person was describing a white person, they might say, well, he's a person of color.
Okay, that's okay.
Or anyway, absent
so when
color.
You're describing any person in the world, you just say that they're a person first, and then if for whatever context it happens to have some meaning for whatever you're discussing, you can add that they are a person with an intellectual disability or a person with some baldness, well, rather than a bald man.
Some baldness.
All right. So that's the answer to that question.
Okay. Well,
right.
I you know,
1-800. Call
us now.
I think
you're tap dancing, but go ahead.
Well, this is the real reason. This is the real answer. You may not accept it as a person of whiteness, but that's the real answer. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. It is sponsored by the Hometown Pharmacy. So call us now. 1-800-795-9565. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take more comers. We're talking about Governor Northam. Should he step down or not? Joe's great article here just says, I think the people of Virginia should be given the opportunity to decide such a thing. And based on his many, many actions in his life, not just these few elements that we've discussed on the show. 1-800-795-9565. Should Governor Northam resign? Why or why not?
Hometown Pharmacies, every season, every day.
Hi, this is Brad from Lewisburg Pharmacy, and I'm proud to be part of the Hometown Pharmacy family. Everyone's busy nowadays, and sometimes you just run out of time to get the things done. Things like calling the doctor's office to get refills for your prescriptions, and even picking up your prescriptions once they're filled. No worries. Lewisburg Pharmacy's here to help. No matter where you have your prescriptions filled now, Lewisburg Pharmacy can transfer your prescriptions for you. You won't have to lift a finger. We'll fill your prescriptions and even deliver them to you. What makes Lewisburg Pharmacy and all the Hometown Pharmacies great? It's the personalized service we give each and every customer every day.
Now that's the way it should be. The hometown feel we all want, but seems hard to find. Hometown pharmacies, like the Lewisburg Pharmacy, do so much more than the big box stores. Every season, every day.
Hometown pharmacies in Mifflinburg, Northumberland, Bloomsburg, Mount Pleasant Mills, Danville, and the Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg, making a local difference every season, every day.
All right, welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. One caller waiting, another one coming in. We'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Cindy, sorry about that. Your timing was perfectly bad for waiting through the break. But you're on the mark. Go right ahead.
No problem, gentlemen. Good morning. You know, Mark, are you aware of this clean slate law that's now come into effect here in Pennsylvania?
Somewhat, yeah, where after X number of years, if you had a criminal background, but then no violations.
Right, then what happens?
Your record gets expunged to the public, but I think police can still see it, right?
Yeah, so what we've decided then is that even though you are a convicted criminal, no doubt about it, your record in that matter is sealed away, available to the police, but no longer available to the general public. So we obviously think there comes a point at which you should have a second chance, or as they chose to call it in this bill, clean slate. Mm-hmm. Do you have a problem with that?
I didn't really study it all that closely, but I grace is a commanding aspect of my life, so let's say I agree.
Okay, so then why would you not extend a similar social philosophy towards this governor?
Well, today, first of all, I have agreed with Joe that the totality of his actions should be examined by people and see if, you know, under those circumstances, should he resign or not. And I personally feel he should resign because he has such a glaring omission in his life's experience and resume and political life to not know that blackface is racist all around. There's just no other way around it and is a terrible symbol of oppression. And so, because he doesn't know that, to this very day, that's why he should resign. Doesn't have anything to do. I don't really care what he did 30 years ago, or well, now he says it's not him anyway. But the fact of the matter is, to not appreciate blackface means you're not really qualified to lead people
does.
Of color
today.
But
he does. He deplored it. He said it was terrible. He said it was racist.
Well, now that he's boned up on it in the past couple of days, but you know, he didn't have that feeling earlier. So that's the slight caveat that I'm hiding behind here is that
I see.
Well,
very slight.
You are hiding.
I can see right through it, Mark.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But for the many people who may be just as wrong as me that want him to resign, that's the kind of thing they point out. Not that, the gravity of the situation or this fact that he thinks or thought up until this weekend that blackface was an okay thing to do from time to time.
That's not even him. So shouldn't we reserve that? I mean, don't you, when you do...
Well, the picture's not him.
If I was arrested, would you describe me upon arrest as a convicted person? Or would you say things like alleged?
Well, we always say alleged. Yeah, innocent till proven guilty. Unless you're at a DUI. Unless you're at a DUI checkpoint, you're presumed guilty unless you can prove yourself innocent.
Right.
That's another topic.
What I'm trying to say here is two things. One, here in Pennsylvania, we have decided to adopt a policy that says even if you're found to be a criminal, after 10 years of good behavior, we'll let that go. Even if you've been found to be a criminal, right? Irrefutable proof you were convicted of this crime or you agreed that you committed this crime and you paid for it through some kind of punishment, we're going to tuck that away and give you a second chance. And I think that's reasonable. So why would we apply that to some people but not other people? I think if we're going to have such a policy, then we should have such a policy. Secondly, if you could show me that this man conducted his life that way, I would agree with you, hang him from the highest yardarm. But this is a single incident which he now disputes. So show me where he's got this black heart that, you know, he dismisses all people of all African American. I don't see anybody raising the, and he did this, and he did that, and he did that. So under our new law, clean slate, even if he did that, it's 30 years ago, and there's no evidence that he's ever behaved that way again.
All right,
My point exactly. Couldn't agree with you more, Cindy.
Thank you so much, Cindy. I really appreciate the call.
If more information comes out that he's mistreated black people, he hasn't treated their children well, he was a pediatrician, or that he refused to treat black children, then I'd say that's an entirely different thing. That shows a pattern of behavior.
What's his view on Confederate monuments? Does that not mean anything? I mean, he could...
He was in favor of taking them down.
Okay. All right. Well, then that's to his favor. Lance, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hey there. Why, you know, people change their attitudes towards things.
What?
Absolutely. I'm living proof, pal. Would you picture me as 50 years ago as a flag-burning pinko?
A hippie.
I could picture that, Lance.
Yeah, that's not a stretch for either of us.
Picture me anywhere close to that today.
Not today, no.
I mean, you have signs of anarchy within you, my friend.
That's exactly right. Exactly what I was for. And I'm sure not for that today. And I really think, how old was this guy anyway?
Northam at the time. He would have been in medical school, I would say mid-20s, late-20s.
That's right, mid-20s. Well, actually, medically, your brain doesn't develop until you're over 25 to the point where you can entertain a rational thought. I've proved that many times. I thought at first it was bunk, but it's not. And it's just the way that is. I don't think anybody should be held responsible for the attitude they may have had before they were mid-20s.
Okay.
I mean, just based on my own experience with my own brain.
Well, the thing that gets me is that the people, and these are Democrats who are calling for him to resign, saying that he can no longer effectively lead and that he needs to be out of the way so that the healing can begin. Well, you know, I can understand people being offended by what happened all those years ago, but how are they harmed by it today if in the intervening years he did good things and never had been racist, never had done a racist thing in his life other than this picture, which may or may not be him. He says now it isn't.
Okay. Well, think about now. One of the worst racists of the 20th century was one Margaret Sanger. That gave speeches towards the fact that the blacks were totally inferior, that we needed to remove them from the gene pool, and had all kinds of ways to do it. She also, of course, famously said that abortion is a great way to solve the Negro problem. Okay? Now, they say, well, then she did great things for women's rights, and she did. I'd have been right there with a sign next to her for the women's suffrage and all that stuff. But they forget all about that. Now, why can't they do that to somebody else?
All right.
Yeah, I'm much more troubled by his comments about abortion, to be honest with you.
All right. Thank you, Lance. Appreciate the call. Joseph, you are up next. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, yes, thanks for taking my call. Yes, I'm wondering, all this outrage about putting black shoe polish on his face, and I can see the KKK uniform, but my goodness, I remember watching TV and see a red skeleton and different people paint themselves black for a skit they had on TV, and, you know, it's just, why would someone get offended that unless they were bringing disparagement upon the black community, you know, which they weren't. They were just, you know, making jokes or something. But I didn't really want to talk about that. What I'd like to comment on is all this outrage about that, and yet what this governor went on TV, and I heard him, saw him, say it's okay to allow babies to die, to murder, you know, and yet he's supposed to be a doctor yet and took a Hippocratic oath to save life at all, you know, and no one seems to, the Democratic Party doesn't seem to be outraged about that, and they didn't call for his resignation because of that. It shows us where our society is at today. I mean, one thing, it's no big deal to kill a child, but, oh, don't say nothing, you know, about a colored person. And I'm not a racist, and I'm not for racism. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just comparing the two, which has more, which is the worst. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes. And one of our listeners sends us a note, says, have either of you seen the video after a debate with a black man where he literally refused to shake his hand repeatedly? It's disturbing.
Says, oh, this governor, I didn't see that
video.
Well,
yeah, they're showing that video around because it shows apparently the two are so heated, or, you know, are and so polar opposites on various views and have criticized each other that he refused to shake his hand. It's the same thing as in the last election when Dan Muser and Denny Wolf, you know, when Dan Muser told him to go to HE Double Toothpicks one time off mic, right, and then refused to shake the hand because of the way that he feels Denny Wolf was mischaracterizing Dan Muser's record. So that had nothing to do with race. I just think from time to time people are running against each other and calling each other bad names. I think they just refuse to shake hands after a while. You know, what's the point?
Another thing, too. When he went on TV and then denied that he was in that photo. Listen, when I was young, I did things that crazy things. We live in a small town. I just wanted to shock people. You know what I'm saying? So I put on my sister's bra and had my shirt off and put on a bra and felt it out and put a hat on my head. No one could see I didn't have long hair like a girl, and put a skirt on and rode my motorcycle through town, you know, and just as a prank, you know what I'm saying? And if I remember that very clearly, that I did that and many other things, and this guy at 20-some years old doesn't remember, you know, and he apologized for that picture. He's a liar. You know, come on. All he didn't have selective amnesia, you know what I mean?
Well, how would you feel, Joseph, if a photograph of you doing what you just described suddenly emerged and was plastered all over social media?
to tell you the truth, I'd laugh about it. I'd just say what I did as a teenager just to get people's eyes to raise, you know what I mean? Back then in the 50s, you know what I mean? It was just a prank, you know?
Right, but other people today would be saying, well, you're making fun of transgender people. You should be punished.
Well, yeah, they would have.
Oh, boy.
And it wasn't for that reason that I did that. I was just, you know, just something wild, you know?
Okay.
You know, we did a lot of things as teenagers, you know?
Right, and you remember all of them.
But the point is, I remember them, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Gotcha.
And there's a different reasons why. Maybe it was just a prank or something in the yearbook or whatever. Who knows? I don't know.
Well, none of us ever wants to be, and I've said this on the show many times, none of us wants to be or should ever be judged by the worst or dumbest thing we've ever done.
Yeah,
me neither. Boy, I'd be in deep trouble. All right, thank you so much.
Thanks, Joseph.
Appreciate your call. Let's take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll entertain more callers if you wish to get through. 1-8, all the lines are open right at the moment, so it won't be difficult to do that. 1-800-795-9565 is our Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. 1-800-795-9565. And that is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and the Lewisburg Pharmacy. We tell you about these important local pharmacies because we know that every single penny spent locally gets spent locally 10 times over before it finally goes to China. And this is very important because it is an opportunity for you not only to support the local U.S. economy, but then the Asian economy as well. So you can support many people in your local community by supporting the hometown pharmacies. They support local businesses. That's who they favor, local restaurants, and then sports teams and charities and churches and fundraisers and fire companies. And then eventually somebody takes that penny to the Walmart and they ship her off to China and it helps their economy. So you are helping the entire world by starting at a Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and the Lewisburg Pharmacy. You can solve almost all of our global economic problems if you just shop at a local hometown pharmacy.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, about 22 minutes left on our show. Now's the time to call in. 1-800-795-9565. I am an unforgiving, lacking grace, and not interested in letting Mr. Northam continue in office. While Mr. Joe here says no, and our good caller Cindy said, look at the totality of all of his actions before you seek his resignation, including what Joe calls his interest in infanticide. So that is what we should be looking at, not just the blackface incident 30 years ago. We have
one item from the newsroom. It says an agreement announced publicly in October strengthening the relationship between Geisinger and Evangelical Community Hospital has been finalized. In a news release, EVAN officials say their newly strengthened relationship with Geisinger and Geisinger Health Plan is effective immediately. Evangelical will remain an independent hospital in the agreement, and both organizations will invest $265 million over the next 5 years to enhance the health of their shared communities. EVAN will share in Geisinger's IT innovations and enjoy an improved status with Geisinger Health Plan. Geisinger will appoint 30% of the community members who serve on EVAN's board, while EVAN will appoint a community member to the Geisinger Health Plan board. There's some other elements about this that which we have just posted at WKOK.com. So we knew they were dating. Now they got hitched. So, or they're at least engaged. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We have a text that relates to Governor Northam.
Right. The text says, the Virginia governor's statement on third trimester abortions is what started the deep dive into his past, and he hasn't walked that statement back. That's enough to remove him from office, in my opinion.
All right.
Can't say I totally disagree with that.
All right, so this is after a baby. This he's the one that did the keep it comfortable comment?
Yes, he's the one that did the keep it comfortable comment.
I heard about that. Well, my take on that is the context was related to a baby that has significant impairments and was somehow brought to term, but is lacking with the ability to thrive.
Well, let's say you're right.
Lacking with the ability to thrive, and that's why the comment, let it sit comfortably for a time, applies.
Make it comfortable.
Right.
And then the mother and the doctor would have a discussion about what to do with it.
Well, plus or during that time, if it were going to perish, it may do so at that time.
But then why not go into institutions where there are children who have been born and who have these serious defects and just euthanize them? What's the difference?
Well, I think part of this is...
Now, come on, what's the difference?
This may be what the people advocating it say is a more humane way to deal with it. I'm not the right person. I have already long exhausted what I know about that comment, but I'm just saying that added context has popped up in the conversation, that it's about children who are significantly impaired and would not survive on their own without lifelong institutional care.
Well, I think you can make that argument, you know, prior to birth, if there was testing that showed the child had no chance to have a meaningful and survivable life outside the womb, then maybe you have an argument. But once it's born, once it's there breathing and out of the womb, it's a human being.
I'm not arguing. I'm just telling you what the rest of the story is.
Well,
I'm not advocating for it.
I'm not so sure about
you
that.
Think, oh, the truth sounds so convicting that you're certain I feel that way. Okay.
I'm absolutely not sure. But
okay. You don't
I'm
even,
willing to say
You don't
I
even
am.
Know what I'm saying now, do you?
Well, you know, sometimes, Mark, you don't make a lot of sense. As you've been told on this program many times
so stupid.
Before. Right?
It's a miracle I can feed myself. Well, maybe that's what he's talking
about. I've seen you miss your mouth a few times, right, and land on your shirt.
That's the injury on my
Mine
forehead.
As well. And then our friend Dick contributes something about off topic, but we'll read it anyway. This is still very important
about
to me.
President Trump.
Right. As it was what I was trained to do as I served in the U.S. Army Security Agency, Southeast Asia, as we began time in Vietnam. The training in all phases of intelligence gathering is very intense and at times quite dangerous. These men and women serve on all corners of the earth, risking life and limb to keep us safe. And now we have a president that merely dismisses the things he doesn't believe or like. On Sunday, he stated that because pro football players would mention the danger of playing the sport, he might not want his son to play. At the same time, doubting the advice of highly trained intelligence agents because he thinks he knows more on the subject. They must be frustrated by his attitude toward their life's work to be taken so lightly. They deal with things that can affect mankind as a whole, not your son's football days. Well, you know, let's face it, there were people who in the intelligence community who said that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iran, and there weren't. There were people in the intelligence community that said if you invade at the Bay of Pigs, President Kennedy, the people will overthrow Fidel Castro, and they didn't.
And you'd prevail.
Yeah, you know, so it's always a case that somebody could have fed them from misinformation. I mean, it's difficult.
Did you say weapons of mass destruction?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I said, weapons of mass destruction, and it turned out there weren't any there. You know, and at the time, everybody was saying, what an intelligence fiasco this is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that the intelligence community, either that or they made it up. I mean, you know, so you always have to be careful with this. But I agree. I would tend to accept the advice of my intelligence experts, wouldn't you?
Well, and on the topic of football, it's not just pro football players who mention the danger of playing the sport. I mean, it's very much talked about fact today about the potentially concussive nature of playing football, plus all the other injuries that, you know, can result.
His son, Barron, does play soccer, and that appears to be an acceptable alternative for
many young
people.
Well, you can get a concussion playing soccer,
that's
for sure.
You can indeed. And you can get a broken limb playing soccer. So, you know, it's not...
As Joe has on many occasions.
6-1, what, I've gotten hit in the head with a ball many times. That's probably why I'm not quite right today.
All right, anyway, 1-800-795-9565. We got another caller, but we'll take more comers. Now we're talking about the president dismissing the sound advice of fabulous intelligence agents, many of whom were already in office by the time the president got there, not heeding their advice and saying that he knows better and is more knowledgeable than them. Now, he's not saying he's more experienced than them, but he's just saying he knows more than they do. So that topic is out there about the president, and that...
Well, I think it's fair to say he has an opinion that differs from theirs.
Right. Well, pulling out of Syria is one thing. Shocked everybody, including his Army Chief of Staff, but that's another topic. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. We would love to hear from you. 1-800-795-9565. Dan, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, I think we have to forgive the governor for his mistake on race. I don't know about on the baby question. That's a whole different subject. We can't forgive him for that. But, you know, we forgive a lot of people. We forgave Charles Darwin for his racist points of view, and he even put them in books. So, and by the way, his books are still being taught in universities, his theories. So I guess if you forgive one, you have to forgive the other.
What racist comments did Charles Darwin make? I'm not familiar with those.
Okay, let me start out. One of his books was written, The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. He said the white race was the highest order of human beings. The black race hadn't evolved to the right. As they evolved, they'd become more like the white race. In other words, the Aborigines, the black people, they were lower evolved than we were, and that's right in his books. You can read it for yourself. Take one out of the library, and that's his racist. And Hitler read his books and gobbled them up.
It's just a theory, though. It's not a fact.
They believed it because Hitler proved he believed the white race was superior, and so did Stalin, and so did Karl Marx. Got a lot of his ideas from Charles Darwin. Yet, if I lived neighbors in New Berlin to Charles Darwin, he'd be a very kind neighbor. He raised a great family, but yet his books promoted more racism than probably any other influence in the 18th century or the 19th century. And but we still honor him in the universities today. He's still being taught. They just don't mention his racist views.
Well, they weren't so much racist views as they were views about how civilization had progressed up to that point. It wasn't that he condemned anybody for their color. He just had views about how they evolved and where they were headed.
Right.
And that's a little bit different than being racist.
Do we still think to this, that's only you know, like not quite 200 years ago, do we still think the black race is evolving? Do we still have that viewpoint?
I think we're all evolving. The question is, where are we headed?
And but what he said, they were evolving into the white race, you know, to be like us. So do we still think that today in the university? Or do we think we're all equal?
I would hope we think we're all equal.
That's what I think. But yet, Charles Darwin then, he said the black were two-thirds human. And of course, we're the white race is totally human.
All right, well,
they thought they were somewhere between a monkey and ape. And a white man.
All right, so those are his theories, and we certainly could have a Charles Darwin discussion one day. The bottom line is he's been forgiven for saying these things.
Apparently so. He's being taught widely in the university. And in the high schools they might not bring out them particular views. They put them underneath. And bring out that we came from an ape, but them views are still in there. The black men he believed was part way between an ape and a white man. That's what his views were. But we honor him today. I don't, but high schools do. Universities, they don't believe that. Man's uniquely created by a holy God.
All right.
So that's where we get a lot of our racism is through Charles Darwin. Big influence on American life and life all over the world.
All right, we got you, brother. Thank you for calling in.
All right, guys, you have a great day. Good talking with you.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'll take a quick break. When we return, we have open phones. We have one comment that relates to, the Northam, right? That's where this stems from. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We're talking about President Trump's tenure in office. Governor Northam, who clearly should resign, but Joe says no. Look at the totality of all of his works, and then he and voters should make some sort of a decision in Virginia. To that end, Al has a remark. Good morning, Al. Thanks for calling in. You're on the mark.
Good morning. He's talking about the theory of evolution.
Yes.
And that's what Darwin is famous for. And, you know, he's saying men evolved over a period of time, and this is how they evolved. And that's okay if people want to believe that, but that's kind of like the opposite of what we're taught in church. I mean, it's a total opposite.
We get the whole conundrum that Dan brings to the table, although he didn't state it all the way through today.
Yeah, but it is... you know, evolution.
All right, stipulated. What else?
Over a period of evolution, things change and evolve, and that takes a long time. So So how long have we been around here and we still don't have it right? I mean, if...
Well, it depends on whether you believe
for millions of years.
Depends on whether you believe the Bible or whether you believe science. Science says the Earth has been here for a couple of billion years. 13 billion, I think, is when they estimate the Big Bang theory took place.
Unlucky 13.
Other people, if you believe the Bible and Bishop Usher, who calculated the age of the Earth by studying the lives of the prophets, he thought we're about some 6,500 years old. So take your pick.
Right. I take the second one.
Because well, they're not
we aren't
off.
That smart. If we were around for a billion years and we took a million years to evolve and we're still carrying on like we do, I'll take the second one. The second one tells you what to do and what to believe and the faith, where you should put it. And we put a lot of faith in our government. We get taxation without representation because we elected President Trump. And he's representing us, and when they don't listen to him and what we elected him to make our decisions for us, then they're not listening to us, we the people.
Well, most people didn't vote for him. If you count the number of people who didn't vote.
He won the election. It doesn't matter.
Right,
he won
no,
the election. It's like when you lose the game, you're a loser. Get with the game. Now you're going to go on. But when somebody's elected, especially the highest office, in the greatest country on earth, he was elected, and 63 million people, and that is the people elected him, 63 million people. And he's making decisions for us, not just for himself. He campaigned. He's not telling us any fibs. Neither did Obama. Obama didn't tell us any fibs, really, either. They both sticking to their plan. Obama apologized for being a great nation right from the beginning, and he said we were no longer going to be that, and he did his best. And I, you know, granted, he did a good job. He really put us in a heck of a shape, and then Donald Trump comes along, and he gives the people a message, and he gets elected. So the people again.
So
you argue with all the people? That's what you're doing.
So President Trump doesn't lie? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, no, he said what he was going to do, and he's doing what he said he's going to do. It's an agenda, and you don't get everything on your agenda. But before we elected him, we knew he was going to be the way he is, and we knew, and he would be more famous if he would get rid of abortion, because we are up to 61 million now, and that qualifies as any Holocaust. We are up to 61 million with the 332,287 that was one last year. We are up to about 61 million now. So that is any Holocaust in anybody's book. And that's what we're facing. Evolution or faith in God and America pray for forgiveness for what we did and get rid of abortion. And he would be more famous than Abraham Lincoln when it comes down to the history books 200 years later, when they start writing about this stuff in a non-political way.
Well, just out of curiosity, how would you have the president do this? I mean, the courts, it's in the hands of the courts, not the hands of the president.
Well, he elects the people to the Supreme Court.
Well, he's appointed them, so the question becomes whether or not they'll take up the issue.
Yeah, and if he points the right people, they're going to make the right decisions. And then it will come from what he did. And he's advocated for that. I mean, if you ever, that Dungell movie or whatever it is that's out now, is coming out tomorrow, watch that. They say, if you watch that, it will change hearts and minds about this abortion.
What
stuff.
Movie?
It's about a Pennsylvania abortion doctor in Philadelphia.
Oh, God.
Where he
yeah,
was
all right.
getting the babies out and ripping them
yes,
apart.
Okay.
You know, they harvest, to have the vaccinations that they make these days, they harvest right out of live cells. They can't get it out of dead cells. So they harvest and they keep the baby alive long enough to harvest the cells out of that baby for your vaccinations.
All right,
and then
gotcha.
Whatever happens, that baby is not going to live after you harvest. You're having babies to harvest cells so we can keep other people alive. I mean, it's a mixed up thing.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much, Al. Appreciate the call. Thanks for checking in. The email, please, if you would, Joe, real quick.
Yes. Steve King's racist comments were recent. Should he resign? Talk about the double standard of Republicans ignoring racism on their own side and condemning it on the other side. And again, I hear a lot of Democrats calling for Northam's resignation. Don't you?
Well, I think the Republicans are there, too. You're just not hearing it.
No, I see.
You have blinders on your ears.
I must.
This is WDKO, Sunbury.